Okay, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Moshiach in Geula class. We are holding in the end of Parshas Bereishis as we're moving into Parshas Noach, in the second section, the second parsha of the Torah. Let's dedicate the class to the protection of all the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael, and particularly the soldiers that are on the front lines. Hashem should guard them and protect them and watch over them. And may they merit, all of them together with all of us, to see the coming of Mashiach right now. Okay, we are holding in, today's class, although today I'm a little bit not that... This class is not as well developed as earlier. Things were just a little hectic the last few days. With Hashem's help, hopefully something will come out of it. We want to move on from Parshas Bereishis into Parshas Noach. Where we left off was, initially when Hashem created the world was in a perfect, perfect state. It was in the Mashiachtig state. When Hashem puts Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden and everything. And it would have been super good, as we learned in the earlier classes. Reflected the ultimate state of intelligence, of unification with Hashem, Hashem's presence in the world, the human being the perfect recipient to receive that light. And then, however, if good is good, doesn't mean that better isn't better. So Hashem left the option of making a wrong choice, which leads the world into utter chaos, darkness, pain, suffering, unimaginable sorrow. But ultimately, as we read and learned from the Shlach HaKadosh, that what comes out of it at the very end is something much better than what would have been had things been in their original wonderful state. And that is that there would be a certain limitation. See, that what we learned earlier was that as a result of Adam or Chava squeezing out the grapes, which means coming, as we learned earlier, coming into direct contact with the schmutz, the impurities that are inside the grape, which are the elements of klipa and the negativity. On the one hand, we have to wrestle with it, and we get impacted by it, affected by it, and it takes us thousands of years to rehabilitate. But on the other hand, the wine that is produced is perfect, perfect, perfect wine, much better than what it was before, and also, which in some ways means that the human being, because he goes through the struggle with the darkness, develops and becomes a vessel and a keli to receive the believable, the infinite goodness. That's the idea of a yisr. One of the interpretations of a yisr na'or mitoich ha'choshech. It becomes greater light from darkness, because darkness forces us to stretch beyond our limits. We stretch until we become literally limitless. And in some ways, we might say that the state of having Adam HaRishon in Gan Eden, and had we had Mashiach reality from the onset, then we would all be tzaddikim. And tzaddikim are wonderful. But their service to Hashem still is measured. The service of a tzaddik is measured. Measured by the very limitations and boundaries of a created entity. And anything but Hashem is finite. So even if we would all be the most highest tzaddikim, and even if we would continue to grow as we learned when we learned to shir about kasnas oyer, the shirt of light, that light is like fire. Fire can, it never ends. The fire can increase and increase and increase and increase and increase, and you can use it, take as much fire as you want. You will never ever end the fire. It has an infinite element to it. So in a sense, we can grow and grow and grow and grow and grow, but yet there is still the limitation of essentially being a creation. In order to break out of that limitation, that's what we get from the Choshech. So we become Bali Tshuva. So really, this entire journey of the human being and the journey of the world is to move from being a tzaddik. We chose that the path that we're going to want is the choice to become Bali Tshuva. And Bali Tshuva, Makam Shabali Tshuva, Oimdim, Ein tzadikim gemurim yecholim la'amid. That even the perfect tzadik, and could be just, I don't know if I've seen this in Chassidus, but I don't know, it just occurred to me this moment. So, but maybe I did see it. The very problem with a tzadik is that he's a tzadik gomor. Gomor means it's a complete thing. A complete thing means it's a wholesome. It's complete. That itself is a hagbala, is a limitation. The Baal Tshuva, because of the emptiness, because of the vacancy, because of the absence of light, because of the darkness, the Zohar says he desires a lakus. He yearns for godliness with what we call bechel yatir, with an added vigor and an added... with an added vigor. Hold on. And an added... just 1 second, there's somebody here. Intensity that even the highest and perfect tzaddik, even the highest and perfect tzaddik, is not able to attain, and that's what we gain from the choshech davka. So in Chassidus, sometimes that is explained: we rise in our love to Hashem from b'chol levavcha, with all your heart, b'chol nafshecha, and with all your soul. That is all contained within a certain container. You're loving Hashem with all your heart. Now, you might have a very, very deep and profound heart. You might have a very rich heart. You might have a very, very, very vast soul. So to love Hashem with all your soul is to love Hashem with a whole bunch of love. But there's still a limit to it because it's your soul. But then there is something called b'chol ma'oidcha, b'chol ma'oidecha, with all your much. Ma'oid means much. You serve Hashem with all your much, which means more than what you have. It's limitless. And the b'chol ma'oidcha comes davka through the intense struggle with the darkness, with the forces, with the obstacles, because they pressure. Min ha'meitzar. We learned to, it's one of the things, one of the ideas of bein hamtzarim. The reason why we have a bein hamtzarim, which is the days, the 3 weeks, which meitzar means narrowness, constriction, blockages, is so that it should be min ha'meitzar karasika, from the constriction, from the pressing pressures of exile. From all this, we should come to anoni b'mirchav. We should come to what's called the merchav amiti, the true broadness, the true infinite broadness, that which is really wide, 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 which as a tzaddik we would not be able to have attained. And that's why Adam and Chava both chose to become Bali Tshuva over remaining in Gan Eden and being tzaddikim. But, you know, as people say, to become a Baal Tshuva, you have to first be a Baal Avera, right? So that's what happened, Nebach. They became a Baal Avera. They did the Avera first. And they went into the darkness. And they fell, and they fell, and they fell. And last week we learned about the denigration that happened to the human being. We spoke about the chait of Cain and Hevel, and how you see the jealousy. Basically, the sin, what it does is, it locks a person into the prison of self. One becomes so self-absorbed, in which they don't have any space, and that's really what the Gullus is all about. Especially, we learned the last week in the parsha, Hecholtzu, go fight against Midian, and as the Rebbe Rishab explains, based on the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, that the war against Midian is the war against Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. Why in the world should someone hate someone without any reason? So Chassidus explains that the war against Midian is a war. Because it's really coming directly from the Eitz Hadas. It's the root of all. It's really an overinflated sense of self. Person is senses, feels, and is busy, occupied with his or herself, and therefore anybody else that exists or occupies space is an interference, is a blockage to me. So that's what you see by Cain and Hevel. It's the root of it is Sinas Chinam. Last week we said how the beginning of that fall, just like the Gullus, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash later happened on Asara B'Teves. So last week we learned how Hashem banished Cain and he told him, Nav and Nod, Tia Ba'aretz, that happened on Asara B'Teves. It was the beginning of destruction, the beginning of... So here you see the fall. And so Bereshis has got the perfect world, but in the end, it's not perfect anymore. It's like the Rebbe Rishab said, that Pasha Pidesh is a Freilach Parsha, the beginning is Freilach. Because the beginning is Hashem creates the world. It's a beautiful world. Adam is in Gan Eden. We have Mashiach. But then the end of the Parsha is Kalamutik. The end of the Parsha is a sad Parsha. Because you see the mankind destroying the world. And the Rebbe Rishab said that Parshas Noach is a sad parsha, but the end of it is a happy parsha because Avram is born. And finally, Parshas Lech Lech is the emissa freilicha parsha, right? But you see, here's the interesting thing, that Parshas Noach is already the first stage in Tikkun Hav Olam. In other words, Mashiach Digger world begins in Parshas Noach. Parshas Bereishis, we have a Mashiach Digger world. But in Parshas Bereishis, we have a godly crafted Mashiach Digger world. We have a Mashiach Digger world as it is Momaila, as it is from Hashem. We don't have a human effort Mashiach Digger world. Quite on the contrary, all the human participation that we find in Parshas Bereishis is human participation to wreak havoc on the creation and destroy it. Noach is where Mashiach, Noach is the first Mashiach encounter in the Torah. And it's hinted to write in his name, Noach. Noach, the Zohar says, Noach means resting, which is, on the one hand, that itself represents when Mashiach comes. Till Mashiach comes, there is no rest because we're busy. The world's emergency. There is a crisis. There is an emergency. There's no sitting back and relaxing. As long as the world is on fire, we have to fix it. There is, chas v'shalom, a raging disease, a ravaging plague that is destroying, chas v'shalom, continues to spread all over the world. You have to stop it. You fight to so there's no rest. You have to fix the world. But when Mashiach comes, there's that the job is done and you can enjoy the fruits of your labor. And that's where you have Noach. Noach is the rectification already. But Noach also means something else. The Zohar says that Noach means also Naicha. Naicha means satisfaction. That Noach is related to the satisfaction. What's the satisfaction? The Eibishter's satisfaction is when the Eibishter has a Dira B'tachtayinim, when the world is filled with godly light, and the human being and the people of the world are ready for such giluyim of such light and such revelation, and we're recipients of it, and that's when the Eibishter is going. That's when there's going to be a naicha. There's going to be a satisfaction. Now the Zohar says there's a double satisfaction because it says in the pasuk, "Eile toldos noach, noach ish tzaddik." So when we're entering into the noach state, which is the satisfaction, the delight, the pleasure, if you can say, there is two pleasures. There's noach, noach, noach. So the Zohar says, Naichel el yoinim, it is a satisfaction to the upper, the Naichel el tachtayinim, it's a satisfaction to the lower. So what does that mean? It's a Naichel el yoinim and Naichel el simply. The Eibishter has satisfaction. His intention, his dream, his kavana, is for what he created the world has been realized. So the Eibishter has satisfaction. And we, the creations, are also going to be in a blissful state of tainug and pleasure, both from the great light that is going to shine during that time, and also from the understanding that all this was achieved through all of our struggles, our collective and the culmination of everything that we've done from the beginning of days until then, culminating in this beautiful world. So that is the deepest satisfaction, especially when a person can see the fruits of their labor, especially when it was very, very, very difficult and excruciating kind of labor. And when we come to see the fruits of it, it's the greatest satisfaction. So Noach, Noach is the satisfaction of... Now, obviously, we're only holding a parsha as Noach. There's another 53 parshias until we get to the real V'zayis HaBracha. And this is the blessing. But the point over here is that in Parshas Noach, we've already gotten to a place where we can start seeing, this phase one of the work. There's going to be still a bunch of phases until we finish the job. But we have already the work of mankind to bring about a tikkun. Who did it begin with? It began with Noach. Noach himself was an ish tzaddik. He was a moral good person. He stopped the denigration. When until Noach, everybody was falling. And Noach was the one who was the first one to stop it and reverse it. But not only that, Noach began a tikkun in the world. And we'll soon see what the tikkun was. But Noach began what's called, you know, the tikkun olam, the sakin olam b'malcho shakai, which is the bringing of Mashiach. Noach, if you can say, is the first rectifier, the first agent of olam hatikun, to fix and to correct the mess which came about through the collapse of Tayu. Now we have to correct it all. It begins with Noach. And that tikkun began, number one, Noach himself, as mentioned. Number two, Noach on his people. Even though the generation didn't listen to Noach, but as the Rebbe explains in Asicha, that Noach was building the Teva for 120 years. And Noach was building the Teva for 120 years, and during that time, he was telling the people why did Hashem make him go through this hardship of having to build the Teva? Why couldn't Noach just be saved by any other way? Hashem could have lifted him up to the closest planet and then sustained him over there. And the reason for that was because the Eibishter wanted Noach to speak to the people. Now, even though in the end he didn't make even one Baal Tshuva, but he did speak about it. So in other words, he at least, the attempt and the effort was made to turn the tide of humanity into the other direction. Right? That was Noach's attempt. Noach also had an influence on the world. In that, Noach brought the purification of the world. Because the Mabul was a purification. As we all know from the Alter Rebbe, as the Alter Rebbe suddenly defines the Mabul in such a magnificent way that I don't think anybody thought of before the Alter Rebbe. And that is that the Mabul, that he asked the question, if Hashem wants to destroy the world, he doesn't have to, why does he have to go through such a lengthy, difficult process of flooding the world, like filling the bathtub until it flows over, which takes a while. You know, you take a shower, you get clean right away. You want to fill a bath, that's a whole procedure. You have to wait till the bath fills the thing. You know, the Eibishter can clean the world in one shot. He zaps the world with one zap, and goodbye, done. More than that, the Eibishter can just pull the neshamas back in one split second, like he did by Makas Bechiris, and that's it. He can just stop creating all human beings also. That he doesn't do because the Eibishter never makes miyesh. Once he creates something into existence, he doesn't pull back from, he doesn't take something back across the border from yesh to ayin to make something disappear back to nothingness. That's something that Hashem has not done. But Hashem could have had many different ways. Harbid racham lamok. Why does the Eibishter bring a mabul? So the Alter Rebbe explains, because the earth, the world, became so tame, became so impure, and the earth needed a cleansing. Needed a cleansing. And a mabul, it was a mikvah. It rained for 40 days and 40 nights. The mikvah, the world was dipped in a mikvah. So the world got a tahara. The world came out purified. So that's a tikkun in the world itself. Interesting, the Mittler Rebbe says that when we say the world, the earth, the needs a tikkun, Salpi Pashtus, you'll learn. What the Alter Rebbe is saying is that it's not stam that the people obviously were not, the people died, all the creation, the people died. It wasn't a tikkun in them, they were destroyed. The earth, the environment itself, the earth itself needed to be dipped, to be purified, needed to be cleansed. Why does the earth need to be cleansed? Because the earth became tame. Salpi Pashtus, you'll learn, it's because the act and activities of the people, because the people were corrupted, their corruption was so bad that it brought about a impurity and a defilement in the earth. They were matama the earth, so Hashem had to clean the earth. But the Mittler Rebbe seems to be learning the opposite. Hashem cursed the earth after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas because the earth itself became polluted. The earth itself became a mixed of good and bad in the earth. And that's the meaning that he said, and therefore the earth is a source of pollution, of impurity. It's in the very soil, in the very earth. And that's why it's breeding the people that are living on the earth and breathing the oxygen are prone and predisposed, so to speak, to make negative choices. To have the earth itself, the environment, the area, has a huge impact. And he says the words, Kimala ha'aretz chamas, that the earth itself is filled with chamas.
So to stop this impure, this intensification of the earth, Hashem dipped the earth in a mikvah. And that brought about not the complete purification, but it brought about at least a temporary, like a person is tameh. Let's put it this way. A person becomes tameh, and they go to the mikvah. So now they're not tameh anymore. Does that mean that they don't have it inside of them ever to become tameh again? Does that mean that they have gotten rid of the yetzahara? Does that mean that there is no more inherent impurity still in the human body? No. But for now, I've entered into a temporary state of neutralization. It's almost like you neutralize the tumah, so you can operate. You're not, the tumah is sort of diminished. So with the same is what happened by the Mabel, that Hashem dips the world and it neutralizes it, but the chamas is still in the earth. Ki malah haaretz chamas. But when Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to eradicate. The earth is going to get all the impurities, going to come out of the earth. And that's exactly what's happening right now. Because all the concentrated evil that's in the world is coming out in Hamas. Kimala ha'aretz Hamas. The earth is full. This is my own narishkeit, but it makes perfect sense. That the world, the earth, is filled with Hamas. And it's interesting, they're all dug in the earth. That's where they've gone into. They're all tunneled into the earth. And now they're being spit out from the earth because the earth is cleansing itself from the chamas that was what the Mabul only went and cleansed it from the top, so almost like a Band-Aid, kept it neutralized. But now it's spitting it out, and they're ridding the world from all chamas, from all that impurity. It's really interesting how that terrorist organization calls themselves Hamas. It's incredible, and it's exactly that's the Hamas, that's the violence, that's the impurity, and that needs to be cleansed, and that needs to be purified, and now it's being purified. Anyways, back to what we're learning. So so Noach. So what do you see from here? That Noach is, first of all, he himself as a personal virtue and a personal human being changes the flow of mankind falling and falling, and he becomes a tzaddik, Noach ish tzaddik. Secondly, he influences people, or he at least makes the attempt of influencing people. And number three, he influences the world, that the world becomes pure, that it's not tameh. And it says when Noach came out of the teva, it says that Noach ra olam chadash. Noach saw a new world. I mean, it's not the same world that was before. It's an oilam chadash that he saw. The Rebbe, interesting, in a sicha in Tafshin Mem Tes, the Rebbe asked the question, what does it mean, Noach sees a new world? What's new? In terms of the world, in terms of the existence of the earth or of the planet. What's new in the planet? You can say it's regenerated. There's nothing of the old because all the infrastructure and all the people were demolished, and it's a whole new neighborhood. It's new people. It's new, but that's not a real chiddush because it's just a continuation from what was before. What's the chiddush in the world that happened? So the Rebbe says a very fascinating thing. He says the real chiddush, really, on a simple level, it says ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. There is no new. There is no new under the sun. Once Hashem created the world, after Shesh Yisem Ebedeshes, there is nothing new. Everything that is. Mashahaya hu shayyeh, right? Or, I don't know what that expression is. But there's some kind of a expression, right? What is. There's no change. It's the same story. What's the chiddush? There's no more yesh me'ayin. There's nothing new created. So, but the Rebbe says no. There is the chiddush when Hashem creates the world from nothing to somethingness. That is an awesome chiddush, from non-beingness to beingness. But since that's not... Now, when Hashem created the world and the Eibershter didn't stop after he created it and said, hey, cool, look what I did. He did do that in a sense, because you see every day he says, hey, cool, right? It's good. Wow, look at that. I created that. The next day he creates and he says, wow, that's really pretty cool. Pretty awesome. Look what I did. Every day he's satisfaction. So there is that element of kitoiv after Hashem creates. But that's not like the ultimate kitoiv. Because the Eibishter's intention was not to create and just enjoy the creation that he created. The intention was that the creation had a kavana. What's the kavana? He creates the world into me'ayin liyesh. He gives the creations a sense of beingness, a sense of existence, self. And the intention is that we should bring the creations back into a state of unification with its source to make from the yesh ayin. We're yesh. And again, as we said earlier, the natural state in which we exist is, especially after the sins and all of that, is that we're very, very, very prone to our yeshes, very into our yeshes. The avoid of man is to work opposite of his yeshes, to be mevatel himself, to bring himself as bittel to ayin. When we take from the yesh agashmi, from physicality, from the our beingness, and we transfer, and we yield, bend and yield, and express the Eibishter through us, not ourselves. So then we're bringing the making from yesh ayin, or we're making from one yesh a complete different yesh. We're making from a temporary fake and imaginary yesh, right, which is our yeshes, and we're making true yesh because the yesh hamiti, Hashem Himself, is now being revealed through us. The Rebbe says that this second chiddush, this is the true novelty. This is the true chiddush, and the simple this is much bigger chiddush than the Eibishter's chiddush when Hashem creates the world from non-beingness to something. And the reason for that is you have to say that, he says, because if this is the intention, in other words, when Hashem created the world, his intention was for our avodah to make from yesh ayin, or to transform our yesh into the yesh amiti, into Hashem's beingness. Now, the purpose is always higher than the activity. Right? You do something for a purpose. The end result, that's what you desire. So what Hashem is doing in creation is only a preparation for the next thing, which means that the next work is something even more marvelous and more beautiful and amazing, that Hashem is like, that's the reason why he made chiddush number one in order to get the chiddush number two. The other reason, I was just thinking why the chiddush, the novelty, is bigger. From making ayin to yesh, we know that the distance between ayin and yesh, ayin is nothingness, which in essence means infinite, boundless, no definition. Liyesh, into something defined and limited and specified, like that's what a yesh is. It's two opposites. It's finite and this is infinite. To make from the infinite finite and limited and defined is an infinite distance. It's right? But who is empowering it? It's an infinite being doing it. So the fact that an infinite being can take an infinite leap into the finite is a chiddush, and it's a wow, but it's not the biggest wow. There is a much bigger wow. To be a finite being, to be able to go across that gap back into the infinite, to be able to cross that uncrossable divide, unpassable divide from yesh to ayin, but not being crossed by the ayin to the yesh, but from the yesh to the ayin. Wow, how did he get the strength to do that? He's only finite. That's why it's a bigger chiddush. So that's the ultimate chiddush novelty. That avoida of bringing bittel into the creation, which is the chiddush, the ultimate chiddush, is be'ikar done through Yidden, through Matan Torah. When we got the Torah is when we begin to connect Gashmias to Ruchnias, begin the rectification of Dira B'tachtonim, elevating physicality and making it express the Ein Sof, right? So this is our Avodah. And in some way, beginning with Avram Avinu, but the one who really, really lays the foundation, the Hachana for that, is Noach. Because until Noach, until the world hasn't gone through the Mabel, then the world is so polluted, you can't even begin the Avodah. Because the world is still full of Hamas. There's no possibility for this transformation to happen. Noach has the Mabel, and the Mabel is the purification, is the first cleansing of the world. The world goes into a mikveh. It's like a person goes to the mikveh before davening in the morning. goes to the mikveh. That's not yet davening. It's not avoida, but it's a hachana. You're setting the stage. You're creating the environment. You're creating the space for you being for being able to do to work. It's like when you're going to sit down and work on a project. You have a meeting in your house. People are coming over. You're going to work on a certain project. So the first thing you do before the people come, it's 20 minutes before people are coming, you start cleaning up the dining room table. So you start removing the books that are there, the things that are there. If anything is sitting around, clean up. There's toys laying around, whatever is there, some leftover plates. So that's not avoided. That's a preparation that people should be able to come and be productive. So that's what happened with Noach. He's the first one who does cleans the environment and begins the work of the chiddush of making meyesh to ayin. And that's why Noach sees a new world. And it's a bigger news. The news of Noach is a much bigger chiddush than Bereishis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Va'aretz. Because that's from Yesh, from Ayin to Yesh. And here's the work from making from Yesh. So, in a sense, we said earlier that the purpose that Adam HaRishon left Gan Eden, let's go back, we said there he would have been a tzaddik, and he went to become a Baal Tshuva. Noach is the first Baal Tshuva. He himself is a Baal Tshuva because he turns man, he turns to Hashem. When the whole world is corrupted, Noach himself is doing tshuva. That is Noach doing tshuva, that's the first stage of tshuva. The second element of tshuva is, as we said, he brings tshuva to the world. He brings a pure, what is tshuva? A cleansing, a purification. As a result of him, you have a mabul that brings about a purification. It's a cosmic tshuva. And that's why Noach, as we know, the Zohar says, and Chassidus speaks about this all the time, that Noach is the same idea of Shabbos. Noach and Shabbos is the same thing. Noach means rest. Shabbos means rest. Right? Noach means rest. Shabbos means rest. Shabbos, however, is also tshuva, because Shabbos is the letters Tashev. Tashev is tshuva. So Noach is the first Shabbos. He is the first tshuva. He is the first return. Now, in the Pasuk it says, Eile toldeis Noach, Noach. Two times Noach. So earlier we said, what does it mean two times Noach? Two times satisfaction. Satisfaction from above, satisfaction from below. If Noach is the inyan of tshuva, tshuva, we know, we're learning now in Ageras HaTshuva, has two tshuvas. This tshuva tata, the lower tshuva, and this tshuva yilah. There is the higher tshuva. In Shabbos, if Noach is Shabbos, in Shabbos we know, Chazal say, if Yidden keep two Shabbosim, miyad hei negalim, they are freed. And Chassidus explains, what does it mean, two Shabbosim? Two Shabbosim means the two levels of Shabbos. The lower Shabbos and the higher Shabbos. Eile toldeis Noach, Noach. So what really is the two Shabbos? In other words, in Moshiach Diga world, which Noach represents a tikkun of the world, there is two levels. There is the lower Noach, the higher Noach, the lower Shabbos, the higher Shabbos, the lower tshuva, the higher tshuva. What is that? So we know. Let's talk about Shabbos for a moment, because Shabbos is connected to Mashiach. As we know, Arachamon, V'yanchileinu liyoyim shekuloi Shabbos, right? We're looking for a day that's kuloi Shabbos. Our Shabbos is a little bit of Shabbos, of yoyim shekuloi Shabbos. So, the Zohar says that in Shabbos there are two levels of Shabbos. There is the feminine Shabbos, the female element of Shabbos, and there's the masculine Shabbos. The feminine Shabbos is Shabbos of Friday night, is a feminine energy. It's the Shabbos Hamalka, Queen Shabbos. L'cha doidi likras kala. Let's go to the bride. And then Shabbos of day is is the masculine Shabbos. That's why Friday night in Shemayna Esrei we say v'yanuchu va. Kol Yisrael, they will rest in her. Shabbos is referred to in the feminine terms. They will rest in her. And Shabbos in the morning, we say, V'yanuchu voy. They will rest in him. Because the Shabbos is a different energy. Shabbos by day is a masculine light. And that's why when Hashem gave the Torah, He gave the mitzvah of Aseres Adibris, He refers to Shabbos, Shamar v'Zachar b'dibur echad, right? We have Shamar and Zachar. So the Zohar says, Shamar l'nukva, Shamar is the female Shabbos, is called Shamar, and the male Shabbos is called Zachar, which is from the word Zachar, which is male, Zachar l'tchura. So these are the two levels of Shabbos. Now let's take a look in ourselves and understand what is the difference between our Friday night Shabbos and our Shabbos Shabbos day Shabbos. Our Friday night Shabbos is a menucha, it's a rest. And it's a very powerful tranquility that we experience on Shabbos. It's a deep relaxation. But the geschmackheit and the beauty and the feeling of Friday night is, I don't have to work anymore. You're like, all the stresses of the week leave you. And you just plop in, if you're busy Friday making Shabbos, whatever, you just plop into a chair, you light your Shabbos candles, and you just sit down on the couch, and you're like, you let the whole week just leave you, and you're just in a state of deep relaxation. So you're relaxing, is relaxing from the work. Now it's because you were exhausted, because of all the work we did during the week, so Friday night, we let go of all of that. The mental stress, the emotional stress, the spiritual stresses, all that stuff. And the Shabbos is in it. So the Shabbos is a Shabbos matching and commensurate with the work. The exhaustion of the week is now leading you into this relaxed state. The turmoil of the week, rather, is bringing you now into this relaxed state of Shabbos. Once you get to Shabbos morning, you've relaxed already. You've already let go of the week. Now your Shabbos is a much higher Shabbos. What's the idea of Shabbos day? Shabbos day is, you're not contrasting the week anymore. And Shabbos day is time for you now to reveal deeper levels of your neshama. In other words, the Friday night Shabbos is more an escape from what was before. It's like a person just ran away from being abducted. And during the week, we're abducted. We're a prisoner. Shabbos, we come, and Friday night, we're released from it. So we're enjoying everything in comparison to what was before. But now, Shabbos morning, go on with your life. Now that you're not a prisoner anymore, you're free. Start the making something of your life. Meaning, once a neshama comes out of the turmoil and the darkness and the struggles of the week, Shabbos day, you can start focusing in Kiddush itself. You can learn, you can intensify your davening, spend time with the family, on a different level, not the contrast of what was before. So the same as it is in our physical experience, according to Kabbalah and Hasidus, this is also related to the supernal spiritual elements of Friday night Shabbos and Shabbos day Shabbos. Friday night is the Shabbos of Malchus, and Shabbos day is the Shabbos of Ze'er Anpin. What's the difference between Ze'er Anpin, between the attributes of Ze'er Anpin, of the six emotional attributes, and Malchus? Malchus, the Shechina, the lowest attribute, the Shechina, she's the one that descends into the world, into darkness. We speak about Galus HaShechina. We, the Jewish people, our neshamas, it's the part of our neshama that goes down to become enveloped in the body and the struggle of light. Yeridus haneshama beguf. That's all related to Shechina, right? So when it comes Shabbos, we go out of the struggle. We go away from the darkness that we're fighting with during the week. We enter into this holy spiritual space. So the enjoyment is the relief. It's going away. It's the part. It's Malchus. The Shechina comes out from her entanglements. But Shabbos day is not so much about Aliyah, running away, escaping the abuse, escaping the darkness. It's more about the Giluyim, the revelations from above. Light is revealed from above. Shabbos by day is a time when incredible godly light is showered, is projected from up down. And a neshama yid who is tuned into Shabbos can experience unbelievable richness, spiritual richness, and depths of godliness that he couldn't experience all other time. So the Alter Rebbe then therefore explains, here's an amazing thing, as this relates to Mashiach and to Noach and to all of this. And that is that Noach's experience, as we spoke earlier, Noach is the beginning of the tikkun of the world. Noach is the beginning of fixing. But Noach, see, the Mabel, that's the tikkun. It's like the Mabel came to purify the world. The Noach is the one who's floating in a teva above the Mabel. So in our lives, that would mean like this. The purifications that we go through as part of the tikkun of ourselves and part of the tikkun of the world, in the way the Alter Rebbe refers to it as the Mayim Rabim, the big waters, the torrential waters that hit us in our life, which are the struggles and the halamis vehesterim and the concealments and the distractions and the non-stop barrage of problems. You go to the mail and you open it up and you find a new bill that you didn't expect, and you have a new thing and you wanted to spend time learning a little bit, you wanted to spend time davening, you wanted to spend time doing a mitzvah, you wanted to spend the organizing, and now you got hit with this, and you got hit with this, and you got the bilbulim, the confusions, the non-stop things. The Alter Rebbe says that's part of the Mabel. That's part of the purification process, because these are things that are interfering in our connection with the Eibishter. What does that do? What does that do to a person? It, on the one hand, it stifles. The pasuk says, "Mayim rabim lo yuchlu lechabes esahava." They can't extinguish the love. But what does that mean? They can't extinguish. When you're throwing water on a fire, you're going to extinguish the flame. The flame is going to, you know, it's going to knock down the flame. When we say it's not extinguished, you can't beat it completely, because you think, you know, you got rid of the fire and suddenly it flares up again. So, which means that these problems, these difficulties, these challenges, these obstacles that we all go through do extinguish out, they put out our fire. In other words, we can't, we don't have the inspiration, the excitement, the want we want to serve the Eibishter. These things get in the way. Right? But they can't extinguish it completely. Not only can't it extinguish it completely, but the fire fights back ferociously because there is water that wants to put it out. So as a result of all these things, what happens? Because a person goes through halamis and all these obstacles, his neshama fights back with all of its passion, with all of its ability, with all of its strength. Much more than had the neshama been in a place of light all along. And that, as we said earlier, hold on 1 second. Hi.
Hello. You guys are still busy?
Who's this for her?
People party for staff.
Okay, so you can bring it in here. These trials and these obstacles only cause the neshama to fight back with a much, much, much stronger intensity. And that intensity makes the neshama from, as we said earlier, from a tzaddik to a bal tshuva. From a tzaddik to a bal tshuva. In other words, limited love to infinite love. Noach, so what's Noach? Noach is floating on top of the teva. Noach is meaning like this. During the week, for instance, is our love of Hashem intensified as a result of the difficulties and distractions during the week? No, during the week we're just bothered. We have to run out of shul. We have only distractions. But all that creates pent-up energy. It creates a pent-up frustration that when the time Shabbos comes and these things go away, what do we feel? We have an enriched desire. We have an enriched burning want within our soul for godliness, much more than that's Noach floating on top of the waters. Noach is the Naicha. Noach is the rest. Noach is the Shabbos. Noach is the Jew above the waters as he's making his way, as he's returning back to the Eibishter after he's being caught, being tossed around in this massive Mabel of light. Of life. Where there is so much getting in his or her way, and then you have Shabbos. You have the tranquility. But the Shabbos that we have, which comes after our struggle, is a connection to the Eibishter, which is enriched by the very obstacles that we had during the times of darkness. The ultimate noyach, the ultimate connection, the ultimate union with the Eibishter, the ultimate return to godliness, is not achieved now during the struggle, but it's going to be achieved after Mashiach comes at the end of days, in which there is going to be a godly illumination, a godly light from above, unrelated to our struggles, enriching and deepening and intensifying our connection to the Eibishter in a state of tshuva, but not a tshuva where we're running away because we were far, but a tshuva because we're being pulled by a massive pull, by this great godly light that's pulling us into him. So here we have, I mean, this last point I know is not that clear yet, the connection of what it has to do with how we're explaining this whole idea of Noyach. And I'm going to clarify this Be'ez Hashem in the next year, but just the simple idea is that this, meaning the perfect return and oneness of human beings with Hashem, attachment, the tshuva, the connection, the return to the Eibishter is a return that we have already, we see it already in Parshas Noyach. But there's two levels in Noyach. There is the lower Noyach, which is the, so to speak, minimal tikkun that happens already in the days of Noyach, but that's connected to a much larger Noyach, the vast cosmic Noyach, which comes at the end of days. In a sense, we can kind of finalize it that we all have little miniature Shabbosim, and that's our Shabbos that we have, in which we're enjoying the fruits of the labor of what we corrected that week as we return to Hashem with a deeper love as a result of our struggles and obstacles. And our little Shabbos that we have, 53 of them a year, are little bits of Shabbos that are deriving, that are gnashing on, that are nibbling or getting their energy off the huge, big, infinite Shabbos that is going to envelop all of creation with the coming of Mashiach. So Parshas Noyach is that the little Noyach riding on top of a giant Noyach. Eile Toldos Noyach, a Noyach Ish Tzadik. Noyach Ish Tzadik is the Giluyim of Mashiach. And the little Noyach is the lower Shabbos, which is connected to the vast Shabbos and the ultimate Shabbos. So again, I want to explain this idea better next week. So we'll get clarity in this idea in the further development of Mashiach's coming already in Parshas Noyach. Everyone should have a good and healthy week, and we should have Mashiach now. All the best. Okay, I was finished. I can't stand distractions. What? Who's bringing now over here? What are you bringing?